Take your Bibles tonight, John chapter 1. We started last week and got through the first two verses. This week we're going to do a couple more verses. We're going to start in verse 3 and go down through verse 10, although we're going to skip 6, 7, and 8, and 9 and talk about them when we get down a little bit further, talking about John himself. But last week we talked about the first two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And we talked about how Christ is eternal. He's always been. And that he is equal with God, and that he is indeed God himself. And so we start in verse 3 tonight, picking up on those first two verses. Verse 3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Those words, "were made," "all things were made by him," comes from the Greek word agentio, which means to come into being. So Christ brought into being all things. Now, that word, those two words, "all things," come from the Greek word panta, which is the universe in its entirety. And we're going to talk about how big the universe is in just a minute. But it means the universe in its entirety and every part that goes together to make up that universe. So Christ created everything. He brought into being everything. Not only the sun that we look at, but the atom that we can't see. Okay? So everything was brought into existence by him. Now, John adds emphasis to verse 3 when he says at the last part, "And without him was not anything made that was made." And so everything that was brought into existence was brought into existence by him. And everything that is in existence today is there because Christ brought it into existence. There is not one atom. Now stop and think about it. There is not one atom that exists today that was not created by God. Nothing. Every atom was created by him. Now, again, we talked about last week that one of the reasons that John's gospel was written was to refute the false teachings that the Gnostics were teaching. Paul also wrote the letter to the Colossians to do that same thing. And now, you don't need to turn to it, but I just want to read a couple verses from Colossians chapter 1. If you want to turn to it, it says verses 15 through 17. But it goes right along with this passage, the first three verses from John chapter 1. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, talking about Christ, who is the image, okay, which means the exact manifestation, who is the image of the invisible God. And again, Christ is the greatest revelation or the greatest manifestation that we have of God. Okay? Jesus told his disciples when Thomas was asking about when he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And Thomas says, "Well, how can we know God?" And Thomas says, and Jesus said he said, "I've been with you all this time, Thomas. You know me. If you know me, you know God. Because I am the revelation, I am the manifestation, I am the expression of God that he sent into the world so that you can know him." So who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn Lord of every creature? So all creation, he's the firstborn of the Lord of every creature. "For by," and that word "by" comes from the Greek word en, "him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." So again, Paul is saying the same thing that John says. Everything we see that's big enough for us to see was created by Christ. And everything that's invisible, I mean not invisible from the fact that it's invisible and we can't see it, but it's invisible because it's so small. We can't see it because it's so minute. And so everything that's visible and everything that's invisible was created by God, again, the Son to the atoms, and then all things were created, brought into existence by him and for him. Okay, and again, if you look at the Greek, and I won't go into it tonight, and I'd just be telling you what I read, but what Paul is saying by using the Greek words that he's using is that Christ is the source of everything. Again, there is nothing that exists that Jesus didn't make. And then Paul goes on, and he is before all things, okay? He is before all things, any single part of the universe, any single part of creation, Jesus was before, okay? And by him, all things, again, all things consist. Now, and again, if you go to the Greek for that word consist, it means held together. So Christ not only made it, but he holds it all together the way that he made it. Okay? So he's not only the creator, he is the sustainer of the universe. If God didn't hold it together, it would certainly fall apart. For centuries, mankind thought that the earth was the center of the universe. And so they believed in a geocentric universe. Galileo came along and said, no, the earth is not the center of the universe, the sun is. And so they called that the heliocenter philosophy. The sun is the center of the universe. Now we know that neither one of them is right. Astronomers now estimate there are 12 quadrillion solar systems. Okay? Our solar system, I'm not sure how many planets we have now. I don't know if Neptune is still a planet or if they, I know they kicked it out as a planet. I don't know if they brought it back or not. But our solar system is, you know, consists of so many planets that revolve around the sun. Okay? Well, there are 12 quadrillion solar systems like ours that center around the sun. Now, just so you get the idea, one quadrillion is a one with 15 zeros. Okay? Christ made every single one of them. Every single one. And the more we learn about what exists, okay, the more, the further we look into the heavens, the more our regard and awe of God and Christ ought to be. It's not just what we can see out on a night with a telescope. It goes far beyond what we can see. And he created every bit of it. Not one atom in any solar system exists without Christ making it. And he holds it all together. All 12 quadrillion of them. He holds it all together. So, if the earth is not the center of the universe, and if the sun is not the center of the universe, what's the center of the universe? Paul told us, Christ is. Christ is. Jesus is the center of the universe. So you might say we have a Christocentric universe. So again, both John and Paul addressed the Gnostics. They declare that Christ was God, and that he is the creator and the center of the universe, because the Gnostics, one of the things they said was that all matter was evil. All matter was evil. And Paul and John said, no, everything, all matter was created by God, by Christ, who is good. And when he got done creating it, he said, he looked at everything he had made, and he said it was very good. And so, again, they refuted what they said. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Christ was life. Now, that in the Greek, that word for life is zoe, Z-O-E. It appears in John a lot. It usually refers to spiritual life. But here in this verse, It probably applies to both spiritual life and physical or natural life, however you want to say it. The source of all life. The source of all life. Both physical, natural life and spiritual life is Christ. Some people try to separate it. There is a spiritual nature to everything. So there's some Christians that try to separate their everyday life from their spiritual life. You can't do that. Your everyday life should be a part of your spiritual life. And so you can't separate it. And the life, it says there, and the life was the light of men. Now, in that verse, both life and light carry the article the. So either, and again, when I get into English like this, Jack, I just repeat what I read because I didn't learn this when I was a kid. I mean, I don't speak English very well, and I certainly didn't, Ruth Ann, learn how to, you know, diagram it, know what everything means. But when they both have the same article, they can both be the subject of the verb. So it's just, that verse says, and the life was the light of men. It's just as correct, according to the Greek English, to say, and the light was the life of men. So you can read it either way. Again, the Gnostics were fond of using the words light and darkness. So John says in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the light shineth, present tense, which means it keeps shining. And the light keeps shining in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it or apprehended it not. Here's the picture. It paints a picture of darkness chasing light. Sort of like you could say that the night chases the day away. Okay, as it gets darker, the day is chased away. And it pictures the darkness of evil chasing the light of light. The darkness of evil chasing the light of life. But not once, has the darkness overtaken the light and seized it to put it out. And again, it pictures the struggle that exists between God and Satan. It went on during Christ's earthly ministry. It's still going on today. And we can rest assured that Satan will never destroy the light and the life. He'll never destroy it. It'll keep on shining regardless of the evil efforts of darkness. I was thinking, I think thoughts like this every time Brother Bill testifies. When he testifies about some group of people somewhere that are still preaching the gospel, regardless of all the persecution that's going on in that part of the world, there is a remnant of people that keep shining the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There are still a remnant of people, regardless of the persecution, regardless of what they're going through, the circumstances that they're in, that keep letting their light shine, and the darkness of evil will never put it out. I mean, it will never put it out. They kill some and others will rise up. They lock up some and throw them in prison and others will rise up. The evil of darkness will never overcome the light. Now, one of Satan's favorite tricks is to put substitutes in, to give us something that's not real, so we'll believe that instead of the real thing. So we're going to skip verses 6, 7, and 8 and go down to verse 9. Again, that was talking about Jesus. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Christ was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And again, that light is true. Not true as opposed to false, okay? But I mean, he is truth. But true as opposed to faith. fake, real as opposed to a substitute for real. Okay? He is the true light. He is the real light as opposed to the false or imperfect light, which Satan tries to put up before us and get us to believe. Now, the last part of verse 9 has often been misinterpreted. It says, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Some people interpret that last part of verse 9 and say everybody's going to be saved. In fact, verse 9 has sometimes been called the Quaker verse, because the Quakers believed and they interpreted this verse to say every man has his day where God visits him and God bestows on him his grace. And so every man is saved. Now, that's contrary to what the rest of the New Testament teaches. And so we believe that Jesus was the true light. He can shine and does shine on every man. And yet every man has to make the decision for himself to receive that light or not. Just because the light shines on a person. And again, you've heard me say, God deals to every man a measure of faith, enough faith to get saved. I believe God will get the gospel in some form or another to every person. Sometimes it will be through nature. It may not be at the Romans Road. It may not be John 3:16. But as we studied in the book of Romans, even nature itself testifies that there is a God. And I don't believe any person will go to hell and be able to look up to heaven and say, I had no idea that there was a God. Don't believe any person will be able to do that. I believe God, again, gives a measure of faith and in some way gets the gospel to every person. Now, it may be us that he wants to use to get the gospel. And so don't leave this place saying, well, I don't have to do nothing because Brother Darrell says God's going to get it, the gospel, to every person. Well, he may want to use you. He may want to use me. And so and Brother Dan keeps praying. You know, he wants to be that person that gets the gospel to the last person before Jesus comes back so that Jesus will come back. And so we need to be busy. All right, let's look at verse 10 tonight as our last verse. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So that word world comes from the Greek word cosmos, okay? What he was saying, he was in the cosmos. He existed, has always existed, and through him the cosmos was made, okay? So, he was in the world. He existed before creation. Through him, and the world was made by him. So he was there at creation time and made the world. And then the last part of that verse says, and the world knew him not. Now, again, many people interpret that verse and say, well, that's talking about the world when Jesus came. Talks about after the incarnation. That when he came, the world did not receive him. Israel did not receive him. His own people did not receive him. But you could say that even creation did not receive him. I mean, Christ has been eternal. He's eternal. He created everything that was made. But even before he came in the form of a man, even before the incarnation, the universe was out of sorts. Satan made claim to it when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. It says in Matthew chapter 4, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He didn't have power to give Christ all that. I mean, he was lying, but he claimed ownership of the world. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, Paul says, he said that the redempted work that Christ did was not only for us, but it was for creation. It was for the world. I mean, he came to redeem everything, everything. So he is the life. He is the light. The light shineth in darkness, but the darkness will never overcome it, never apprehend it. Never, as that verse says, will comprehend it. It will never overtake it. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll stand and have a word of prayer. Men will be praying back in the library. Ladies will meet over here. Thank you for being here tonight. Again, let's stand and have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.